Hey guys, this is CTP with Barbell Shrug. For the video version of all these podcasts, go to our website, fitter.tv. That's FITR.TV. Check out the video version of all of them. They're a lot cooler. They're super juicy and tasty.
Mmm. With your friends?
I think it would be hysterical, though. Like an old Johnny Carson, you know?
When you know what? I might
we do need a round table or something. We need just proper...
I don't know.
Okay, like what's his name? Rose on
Charlie Rose.
Charlie Rose.
The round table.
He has that table, which I love.
Or real time Bill Maher, everything where there's a little discussion focus point. A little curved surface where you sit around and you look at each other and you talk.
I like that a little bit. Charlie Rose always comes across like you're at his house though. I feel like his wife has just cleared the table. And we're waiting for coffee to come out, and there's discussion going on. Bill Maher doesn't. I don't feel that way.
No.
So you get all your information from Charlie Rose.
I get most of my information from Charlie Rose. That's not true.
If Charlie hasn't said it, I don't know it.
If he doesn't have a guest on, then I wouldn't have any idea what you're talking about. You don't like Charlie Rose?
No, I like everybody, man. I watch everything except Fox News. Absolutely everything except Fox News.
I think there should be some legality to calling it news when it's not. Shouldn't someone be able to say, that's actually not news, you can't use that name anymore?
Like when you change WWF to WWE?
Yeah.
Because you have to acknowledge that's entertainment.
Yes. Yes.
They actually got sued by the World
Wildlife Foundation, yeah.
Oh, did they really?
Yeah, and they had to change.
Mm-hmm. Wow.
I was kind of bummed by that. Wow. That's probably when I stopped paying any shred of attention. I used to be a huge wrestling fan when I was like a kid.
Oh wow.
So love that shit. I think I can't remember when they changed, but sometime in high school I just like once a week I still used to watch it. For some reason I couldn't tell you why, dude. I don't know.
It's entertainment. And the storyline is good.
It remained nostalgic and attractive to me for some reason, and I used to love it.
It's the same reason people watch Big Brother or any of these other ridiculous shows, Survivor. Like you get some kind of emotional attachment to it, and then you're like, this is ludicrous, ridiculous, whatever it is, but you're like I think it's kind of real, though.
What do you think
like,
the draw is now with... I've been fussing at the TV for a couple months now. That
my close friend, Sony TV.
Yeah, well, you know, like reality TV is not anything new now. It's been around for a while. And for we've all recognized that it's all pretty fake. But now it's gone from being fake and having a different kind of fake for each kind of show to where you could kind of let it pass. Now, every show... is a competition where 10 so-and-sos will be edited together in fake situations, voted off one by one by some judge who says, I'm sorry, but you will not be the next blank blank.
Right.
There's a makeup special effects show. I'm sorry, you will not be the next Great American Face-Off winner. Or the tattoo show, or what's his name from...
I forget about the tattoo one.
You will not be America's next top two artists. You will not be America's top model. They've got this down to some formula that dumb Americans eat up like it's Pop Rocks. It's crazy, man. I hate it. I can't stomach it anymore.
I think some of it is just people get this emotional attachment to it, and they know it's fake, and they can't turn away from it, and I don't know why. And I can't watch any of it because I don't think I ever crossed that barrier where I was like, who's going to be the next America's next top model? It never made any difference to me. But I think once you sort of get involved the storyline, like I wonder at its base if people really think, hey, this is reality TV. I think they think this is entertainment.
I don't know what they think. I think they just know they must watch.
I don't know, man. I've never watched any of that stuff.
The most bizarre one is now on like Do It Yourself channel. It's America's Next Top Handyman, where each week they have a handyman challenge, like fix the light fixture in the dark. That was one of them. Can you fix a light fixture in the dark without making noise because there's a sleeping baby in the room? Go.
Because there's a sleeping baby in the room.
And then Mike Holmes or whatever comes out and says, I'm sorry, you don't have what it takes to be America's Next Top Handyman. Whatever that means.
Do you think some of that is there's a successful format and there's so much cable out there that people just simply
I think it's
go,
just good enough where people get hooked week to week to see who will be the next handyman. Coupled with, I mean, just enough entertainment.
But here's the
but it's coupled with the fact that it's almost free to make those shows. You just got to give the host $100,000 or whatever.
But how much?
Film them in like 2 weeks.
I know, but a viewership wise, how many people are actually watching that show? I wonder.
Like, Who Wants to Be America's Next Top Handyman on Do It Yourself channel?
How many people are actually watching that show? I mean, it's not the Super Bowl. It
can't be more than like 100,000 people.
I mean, that's what I mean. I wonder if it's so easy to make.
There's like 100 channels on cable or whatever.
Yeah.
And a finite amount of people at any given time who are watching cable TV.
What, in Wayne's World, you know, they had their TV show and it was on, what do they call that?
Public access.
Public access. It's like cable has become public access. Anyone with a camera.
And
it's
like
podcasting. Any for fucking idiots can get a podcast.
I know, right?
It's true.
No. This is higher minded than that. This is the Charlie Rose of Garage Podcast.
We are the Charlie Rose of CrossFit based podcasting.
I thought podcasting. I when I first started looking into podcasting, I go, "Oh my god, this is easy. You just basically got to record something, host it somewhere, and then you can just put it on iTunes. Holy shit!" And then we started doing it. Actually, it was a little bit harder than that. Not technically, but pulling off doing a podcast every week. And having interesting things to talk about and all that kind of stuff, that's more difficult. I think the average person would have a hard time with that.
It requires an exceptional level of talent.
I wouldn't call it talent. I would call it just consistency and a little bit of grit.
But let me ask you this, since I have you guys here tonight on my podcast. Do you guys think...
You're like Charlie Rose.
That Barbell Shrugged, that's a lot of the people that are watching the podcast are simply doing it for the same reason people get hooked on reality TV. They listen to one... And they kind of like it, but they don't really know why at its root, why they keep
No, I hope that
listening.
We're changing their lives. Forever.
Do you really think you changed anyone's
no,
life?
No, I think if we can make people forget what they were thinking about beforehand for 10, 20, 30 minutes an
I
hour.
I was making love
and take,
to a supermodel.
And take like, you were? Wow. If you can be entertained for an hour or so.
Yeah.
And take away like two or three pearls, you got a pretty good trade-off for free. For free. Point. The price
for
is free.
Free.
Yeah,
well,
that. That's what we're hoping.
Okay,
I mean, it's this or maybe the morning talk show on the way into work, and this is going to be a lot better than
For
that.
For Christ's sakes, listen to us over Rush. I mean, come on, who even talk
Do
about
people
here?
Listen to that? I commute like 3 minutes to work.
We need
so
big
I,
gold. We need big gold microphones.
I have Sirius Radio, so I don't even listen to the.
I do too, but my commute is so short from my house to where I work, regardless of which place I'm going. Literally, I pick a song. Like, I'll get in my car and I'll think, here's a song I want to listen to. I'll listen to that song and it's almost like, I remember on Ally McBeal when they said you have to have your theme song. You might not be old enough.
What the hell are you talking about?
I know Ally McBeal. Yeah,
yeah,
of course. What's
Ally McBeal was this very popular
show.
Yeah, it was a popular TV show about this young.
I wasn't
attorney.
Allowed to watch TV when I was a kid.
Explains.
I didn't even know they had that stuff when you were a kid. No, and they had this whole theme about having a theme song. You know, Allie needed a theme song that she'd hear when her life was going crazy, and then what was her theme song going
to
be?
So
I always feel
you
like
you have time to listen to this one song, and then you're at work, and that song set
the
tone.
It's
the
theme of
for
my
the entire day.
Yeah, yeah.
All right, this has been a terrible conversation up to this
okay,
point.
Well,
I don't think so. I think
I
you're full
know.
Of shit. It was great.
What are we going to talk about here?
Let's get this show started. All right, folks, you're with Barbell Shrugged Strength and Conditioning Podcast.
Does that count as our intro with Bob Robbie?
Strength and Conditioning Podcast. I don't know what we were talking about before that. Make sure to visit our website, fitter.tv. That's FITR.TV. Sign up for the newsletter. If you want updates
Careful,
from
it's
us.
Tricky, it's tricky spelled.
Well, probably.
It honestly is. It confused
me. I know,
a little,
but people are finding it.
Okay.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm a grammar freak, so the whole where's the vowel?
Yeah, it's a generational difference. I understand that, but
oh Lord,
we go there, sign up for the newsletter. You'll get strength and conditioning specific stuff, unlike the podcast. And then check out the shop. We got cool coffee mugs in there now. You can get a Barbell Shrug coffee mug. You can drink coffee with us.
How big is the cup?
You can get it as big as you want.
Seriously.
It's not how tall it is. It's how wide the cup is.
Well, that's what I mean.
Got a
like,
couple different options.
Sizes?
Yeah,
really?
got the smaller one. I got the bigger one. And then Doug.
They say the same height, they get bigger girth.
Doug was, he's supposed to look into getting travel mugs. I'm a big fan of
really?
Travel mug. Yeah.
I'm a fan
Dude,
of travel
Dude, I drink
mug.
Out of travel mugs when I'm at home. Because they are superior in every way.
Because I never know when I'm going to have to leave.
Well, no, they're superior in every way to a coffee cup. Because you can just, one false move and your coffee is gone.
But I like that risk in my life.
And you got like 15 minutes. Yeah, 15 minutes to drink that coffee too, or else it's gonna be cold. And
that's
disgusting.
The deal, though. I feel like I'm in the moment. Like I've got this coffee. I've got to pay attention to it.
I can't believe I'm gonna have to be the one to keep this thing on track tonight.
Oh god.
What are we gonna talk about? All right, we got Robbie Froman here. It's just
hello.
It's me, Mike Bledsoe, and Chris Moore. And
we're gonna pull this bitch off the rails.
Okay. And we don't have.
I promise you that.
And we basically don't have Doug here, who usually keeps us on track. No. To some degree. But we got Robbie Froman.
Hi. I want to bring something up.
Owner of CrossFit Chickasaw. One of the owners of CrossFit Chickasaw.
One of the owners of CrossFit Chickasaw. Yeah. That's true.
So that's all you're getting for an intro.
Well, I think, no, that's bullshit.
CrossFitChickasaw.com.
Okay. Hold on. I think what I'm about to say is true. And even if it's not, I'm going to make it true by just saying it enough times. I think
like
I'm
the Republican Party. Good.
I think I'm your first repeat guest.
Froning was our first repeat guest.
Yeah, Rich.
Who
Froning.
Is he exactly? I'm gonna be your Steve Martin. You know, Saturday Night Live.
Yeah.
I'm gonna be your Steve Martin.
I'm happy with that.
I'm honored by that. And this Rich kid, I'm sure he's nice.
I'm sure one day he'll amount to something.
He's gonna try. Rich, if you're listening, I want you to know you can call me, I'll give you some advice. You can find your own podcast. what are we gonna talk about tonight?
Tonight we're going to talk about some stuff you wanted to talk about, or we started talking about earlier today. The diverging nature of CrossFit, basically how there's little niches in the CrossFit community at this point. Along with that, we're going to talk about some CrossFit gyms that don't actually do CrossFit.
My favorite
so it seems.
CrossFit gyms.
And then what programs should you do? I guess there's a lot of programs out there now that you could follow. There's Outlaw and OPT and some other stuff out there. There's definitely a lot.
Invictus has some really cool stuff on their website.
Yeah, there's a lot of people out there trying to, I guess, get athletes to follow their stuff. And they all have like a different take on things. And
it's a free market of ideas.
Well, the
kind of
on that on that point though, I don't know. Some of these places I think are catering to a CrossFit athlete. I don't think there are that many of them out there. So my concern when I hear, you know, hey, these different potential outcomes, I wonder what a lot of these people that are doing a huge load of CrossFit training, I'm using my, if you can't see my hands,
sarcastic
the quotes,
ones.
Yeah. What they're doing, because I think some people are just doing it to kind of do it, and they're not thinking about what comes out of the other end of the machine. You know, what do they really want to get out of this? Other than to potentially beat themselves up,
I think they're there for the journey.
What? But it's kind of like going to the airport.
Elite fitness.
What? Elite fitness. That's the most confused. It drives me nuts when people are like, elite. What is elite fitness? I mean, in all honesty, like, isn't it different for everybody? If you were special forces. Your idea of elite fitness is probably different than, I don't know, a mountaineer. I think about people that are actually in the world doing
stuff.
Yeah,
it depends on what
things.
You're trying, what's important to you, right? There's either the specialization elite fitness route,
right.
Or there's the jack of all trades fitness route. I guess by CrossFit standards, doing everything pretty good is elite fitness versus a guy who's the world's best mountain climber. Or the world's best clean and jerker,
right.
Or the world's best, I'm trying to think of like, you know, shuffleboarder, whatever.
Well, we were having this conversation earlier today. It's like, what's it mean to do CrossFit? And for me, a lot of times when someone says I do CrossFit, I immediately assume that they're talking about they do CrossFit.com, workout of the day.
Well, I mean, they're talking about the generic thing that is CrossFit, which is you go to a CrossFit place and you do one of 8,000 different things randomly thrown into a pot and pulled out one by one.
It's not random. It's constantly varied. Greg Glassman's just...
They had to change that after a PR fail.
But
when someone says they do CrossFit, I think CrossFit.com, because there's like 1,000 different programs you could follow because, I don't know very many gyms that program off of CrossFit.com. I do know some gyms that follow other gyms or other coaches and stuff like that.
Yes.
So in a given day, there might be 500 different WODs that you could do that might be different.
Oh, yeah.
That 500 different people are blogging, you know, this particular different workout or whatever. So when someone says they do CrossFit, they're talking about CrossFit.com Because you follow an OPT, they're like, oh, I follow Big Dog Blog. Or if they do Rudy's, they do Outlaw CrossFit or something like that. So they all have.
Is it called Outlaw CrossFit? Or is it just Outlaw? Is CrossFit actually
I think the gym is, I think he owns the gym, Outlaw CrossFit.
Okay.
And then he has, like, for his competitors, I think, I want to say it's the Outlaw Way or something like that.
Yeah, that's what I'm, I was curious if he's.
And I, yeah.
Well, I think it's an interesting thing when people say they do CrossFit. I do think about CrossFit.com, but also as I travel around and see people and talk to different people, it seems like the idea of what CrossFit is. When we talked about this earlier, I said, you know, when I was a kid, there were whatever five channels on TV. So sort of what you saw out there, you know, you'd go and for better or worse, like TV was this kind of the same thing for everybody. You know, you had one of five things. And when I first started CrossFitting about 3 years ago, you know, you'd go to a CrossFit place, you'd come in and they'd say, oh, you know, we're doing Angie today. Oh, I did that once a year ago and I didn't have my pull-ups, but now I've got them, whatever it is. I feel like anymore, every place I go is a little different.
Everybody's now venturing off into their own little
version
of it. They all do their own mixing and matching and what they think is a good combination, a good
and
program.
And what they value as components of CrossFit. I've been to some places that seem very powerlifting centric. I've been to other places that seem very ollie lifting centric.
I guess it depends who the coach is, what the facility is like, what equipment they have.
Well, that's one thing I see a lot of too, where people are like, you know, we don't run much. We're on the second floor of a building. And I get that from an owner standpoint. It's hard to program running when running's a real pain in your ass, but doesn't that then skew, you know, what you're actually providing people? Or if you don't have, you know, I've been to a lot of places that don't have platforms or if you've got three racks, you know, it kind of limits what you could do with a class or what the people in your gym are going to be exposed to. So their idea of CrossFit, hey, I do CrossFit. I mean, once you get away from constantly varied high intensity functional movements, it's like, man, that could mean
sometimes varied kind of high intensities if we have enough weights for everybody.
What I think about CrossFit is like, you know, you're doing CrossFit as long as you're training for any potential scenario. So if I'm following a program that I believe is preparing me for any scenario that could be thrown at me from, you know, the end of the world to, you know, a thief breaking my house, me having to run from the cops, whatever. You know what I mean? Like
any, I do.
Or having to deadlift a car off of somebody, whatever.
Could you deadlift a car off somebody?
Oh, absolutely.
No. I feel like I should have a seat in my car just for you, just in case things get bad.
I can lift Tonka cars. Yeah.
Okay.
No, but you know, I feel like if you're trying to have the most well balanced program possible, then I would accept you're doing a CrossFit program. What was that?
I don't know.
CTP is bumping into shit over there.
Damn. Oh, he bumped into the empty mic.
Oh no, he didn't.
Oh God.
That's where Doug would be. Oh Doug. Oh he's in Florida. He's not dead.
Let's have a good time.
Yeah.
So
I want to go to Florida. It's just a weird thing to me. I think the people get out there and say, are you doing rabbit ears behind that? You know, the idea of what CrossFit is and why you're doing it, it's getting interesting to me to look at, because I guess they're now saying there's like 4,000 boxes. It can't be gyms, we're boxes. There are 4,000 boxes out there.
That's official pink word.
Yeah, and growing. And I feel like the diversity of what's going on in those CrossFit gyms.
And they're unbuyable. Can't be bought out.
Well, I don't know how you. I mean, I guess not. None of these people could agree on what, you know, makes sense from a programming standpoint. I don't know why they'd all sell the same shoes, but maybe Anthos or whoever these people are see things differently. But it might be a different topic. I think it's a weird thing to me when I go around and I see how different the idea of CrossFit's getting. And I also, from a programming standpoint, I look at a lot of programming out there. It seems I see a lot of strength, whether it's powerlifting or ollie lifting, biased programming. And I don't have anything against strength. I mean, I think being strong is obviously important. But at some point in life, too, like odd objects and I don't know, when the thief breaks into the house and I have to tackle him, am I going to have, you know, is he gonna have a barbell on him so I can grab him by the by the barbell. And
so what you're proposing is getting judo training involved at CrossFit Chickasaw.
I don't know. It depends how big the thief is and if he's been trained in judo.
That's a very specific set of scenarios.
Yeah.
Well, I don't know. I think it's up to, like, you know, what do your clients want? What? Why do your clients come through the door? They come to the door. Do you have a bunch of athletes who want to go to the CrossFit Games? Then you probably need a program very game style or to prepare them for that. If you've got a lot of people that are coming in that just want to get general fitness, you may never have to run. I mean, do you really have to run in order to be healthy? It's like, or lose some weight? I say no.
If running made you lose weight, then every gasping fat person run around this block on Sunday mornings would be quickly thin.
Well, you're missing the diet component
is that more important?
I think the running is...
It's the base of the CrossFit pyramid, nutrition, right?
I think the running is important. I think people should do it. But if, like you were saying, if you're on the second story in a building in Manhattan, then and you don't run, I don't think it's the end of the world. You could just encourage your clients at that point, hey, why don't you go out once every 2 weeks and go run a 5K? You know, that's what I would do as a coach.
Do you think your clients are going to go out and run a 5K?
Hey, that's on them.
I know.
You know?
Yeah, I don't know. I think running actually is important. I mean, it's a mode. It's the most basic mode of transportation. You know, fight or flight. They didn't mean like on your...
Like actual flying away.
Yeah, or on your scooter from your scooter store.
But it's also a very little... If done well,
that wouldn't require 5,000 meters of running either.
Well, it depends on who's chasing. Maybe a Kenyan is broken into your house
and wants to kill you.
And wants to kill you. He's going to run you down.
Wants you to die.
Right.
And you get stuck on your treadmill trying to get away. And then he's on the treadmill behind you.
I'm preparing for this scenario. Maybe he simply says, if you can run a 5K faster than me, I won't kill you. Maybe it's that. Maybe it's like
that could happen.
No country for what was that? No country for old men. When he's like, you know, he flips the coin. It's the same kind of thing.
Eric, I hate that movie.
That movie?
Well, because it ends and nothing happens. The guy just walks away from a bizarre.
That's life. Well, life sort of things happen, and then it doesn't
go to movies for life lessons. I go to movies for Bane dying and Batman becoming the superhero that everybody wants.
You just ruined it for everyone that didn't see it.
No.
Everybody's seen that movie now. Come on, let's get real.
What I find interesting is we're talking about maybe just not running because you're on the second story, but there are some gyms that are opting towards doing more of a bodybuilder type programming.
Absolutely.
You've seen bodybuilding type stuff.
I've been emailed. I was emailed last week.
That's one
week.
They haven't seen anything.
Well, I don't think
they don't call it bodybuilding, but if you look at what they're doing, it looks awfully.
It's a
Give me an example. I'm curious.
It's circuit based hypertrophy training. Like they're doing A1, A2, A3, A4, and they're doing four different movements.
The base is supersetting, as it's classically known.
Right. They're doing a 30-second rest in between each set. So in 5 minutes, they will have gone through four different movements. And
like,
it's 6 to 8.
For like 10 reps each thing.
6 to 8 reps. So you might have. And they're programming things like incline dumbbell press. So it'll be like incline dumbbell press.
Which is not, there's nothing wrong with that.
Deadlifts. No. Deadlifts.
Okay.
And then dead hang pull-ups. What they're doing is 6 to 8 reps every single movement, 30 seconds rest between each movement. That sounds a whole lot like a typical hypertrophy circuit.
Here's where I'm going to argue as a programmer.
But it's happening all the time.
I feel like I'm a CrossFitter. I know there like, is there something wrong with incline dumbbell press per se? No. I mean, it has some value. But until you get to a really specific athlete that you're trying to address a real specific shortcoming with or an opportunity with, is incline dumbbell press something that you would do to enhance your customer base's fitness? Of all the things out there they could be doing,
No.
Do you think something that specific? That when I see stuff like that, I'm like, why?
My opinion on pressing where you're not standing exercises, bench and incline, anything else, is that they work very good to help you get better at, you know, a push press or a jerk if you're working on those things. They really work very well as a assisted exercise. They don't take prime time space anymore for me or in any program. I think it was preparing people to be better at CrossFit or any kind of sport. This just doesn't deserve primetime space.
That's why I guess that's one of the points I'd say, like, is there anything
But if
wrong
they were doing
it?
That after they did, like, a clean jerk workout or something, you know,
well, this is their workout.
This is the one.
There's very little, I'm not there every day. I haven't seen the workout of the day for 3 months straight or anything like this. I've been notified by two different people that I was like, I joined this gym to do CrossFit. Is this CrossFit? And they email me that. I go, oh, you know, I don't know exactly what you're preparing for by doing this. Maybe, you know, you should get a tanning, you know, membership somewhere. Because
we gotta be careful. If you did a mobility session, then you did some speed work, and then some clean and jerks, and some squats or something, and then you did a circuit-ish type thing that featured dumbbell presses and pull-ups and X and Z for 3 to 5 rounds of 10 reps, it'd be kind of similar to what people do, including us. You know, what's the difference between dumbbell incline and push-ups and rings? What's the difference?
I'm just saying that's all they're doing.
Yeah, so it shouldn't be all, but if it's balanced out with other good things, it's good. But if it's, I think we all agree, if that's what you're doing for the whole workout, then you're showing up for a bro session.
Well, what I'm saying too is, like, you know, it's not a bad program. It looks really safe. If your goal is to put on a lot of muscle mass, it's probably a really good program. But if you're showing up to be a better CrossFitter, then you're probably...
Every Saturday at 10 o'clock, I give kind of a canned speech. We have an open class. I know Faction has the same deal. Like, you can come 10 o'clock, anybody, try CrossFit. Mm-hmm. There's no fee. You guys tell people the same things. I did it to y'all for a while. You can come every Saturday. You never have to pay anything. And I did. But every time I'm like, you know, we focus on functional movements, things that you're going to go out and find in the world. And some of these things, when I look at, in the real specific instance that you're bringing up, Chris, where you're like, well, you've done these other things and you're going to add this as a little bit of extra work and it makes sense. I totally agree with that. In terms of having movements like that in a regular CrossFit, you know, program, I'm just sort of lost because I can't ever think of when I'm going to be in that incline position with heavy objects in my hands and having to press like that. I don't know. Where there aren't other things.
Well, I mean, a good example of this, last week I programmed barbell rows into a Metcon, which is extremely rare. And I think a lot of people are used to, you know, using their body weight to move things and be very athletic. And a barbell row is not very athletic at all. You know, you straighten your back out, you move the bar to your chest methodically.
methodically.
If that's even the right way to say that. But anyways, it's, you know, it's in the mix with kipping pull-ups. You know, you do kipping pull-ups and you do push-ups and then you turn around and do some barbell rows and then you do some cleans. You know, I could see, you know, you start throwing in certain things and it's like, okay, that is kind of
But I would also say things like push-ups, any way you slice them aren't that useful really either.
Getting yourself up off the ground?
Yeah. If you're comparing the utility of a bench press and a incline dumbbell press and like a kettlebell press thing and a push up in the rings, there you're getting kind of murky with the distinction between what's athletic and what's not.
I think getting yourself to the ground if you can
do an incline dumbbell press with 100 pounds for 10 reps, that if you weigh 200 pounds, you can't get off the ground.
Well, here's the problem is you could technically. I'm not saying this is the case. But if all the press work you did was on a bench, and then you had a very 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 weak core, and you went to do a push up, there's argument to say that you'd have a hard time getting yourself underneath you. From a laying on your belly standpoint,
I can see very good arguments where those people would maybe suck at deadlifts and squats, and maybe even like a row where you gotta support your body while you pull and exert force. Because I'd argue that a barbell was actually not bad in terms of being a really solid all around strength builder. But I've never seen a frat guy have troubles with push ups.
Let's go to U of M right now. I think there's a difference too. Are we talking about, you know, an elite CrossFit athlete, someone's in your gym and you're like, hey, I've got this huge variety of things they need to encounter, and you're constantly trying to hit them from different angles just to emotionally prepare them to compete as a CrossFit athlete, mm-hmm. versus, hey, I want to come be fit. This is the best way to do it. I have 4, maybe 5 hours a week to give to this.
It kind of sounds like we're getting too close to the classic and kind of hard to explain to people the essence of, like, the here's the main stuff we need to do for all very good reasons. Like, you can make very strong arguments that you need to press and pull and jump with all kinds of different loading conditions, like cleans and squats and Olympic style pulls, kipping pull-ups. We know why those things are good.
Right.
And then there's all kinds of exercises, like dumbbell pressing is one that I would agree is definitely assistance work. And I would say all kinds of stupid kettlebell swings are assistance work.
Thank you.
Ring push-ups.
Chris Moore has just verified.
Ring
He's
push-ups
validated.
Are assistance work. Turkish get-ups and all that kind of thing, I think, are nowhere near as important as squats and cleans and maybe even a kipping pull-up or something.
I totally agree.
It's like, at one point, are they useful to sprinkle on top of the pasta dish as a little necessary but not essential garnish? And when are they totally useless? Like, that's where all the art and the gray area comes in to how you program. Choosing, okay, I think I'm going to have my guys do one-legged squats today as a little Metcon deal. Pistol action. You know, choosing those at the right time to build...
Partner pistols.
Which is pretty
Robbie and I invented a new movement today.
We did. We had a community WOD on the bluff in Memphis. I thought it was very successful. And we did partner pistols, where you got to hold your partner's hand and you both went down for a pistol. And then in my case...
At the same time?
Yeah.
Wow.
In my case, I went down and had to lean forward and then pull... So some one arm stuff really helped me, because Mike's much bigger than I had to pull him up out of that pistol every time.
If I remember correctly, I was the one that was just whipping him out, and I was having to wait on you.
The first couple ones were a little confrontational this morning. My legs were a little sore from some running I've done earlier in the week.
You got sore from running?
I've been trying to pose run more. And I'm actually, this is going to sound ridiculous, but I've actually gotten a lot faster. I'm not a fast runner, so I'm not saying that. But I have gotten my 400s and 800s have consistently gotten much faster in the last 2 or 3 months. And granted, I'm sore this week, so I ran more than I have in probably in 6 months, in 1 week, intentionally. But I'm sore in the right places, you know, mm-hmm. like my hamstrings are a little tight, you know, and my rear end, and, you know, my shins aren't killing me and my feet mm-hmm. aren't sore. So I've been pleased by that. So yeah, it soared me up.
How have you been getting coached on pose running? How have you been, are you doing self-coaching with videos or what?
A little self-coaching. And then, a lot of it is just, I think, experiencing it and looking for that, you know, midfoot kiss to make sure you're keeping your foot, under you or behind you, you know, cause I think you can coach someone, cause I was coached for a while on, you know, this is what you should do. But some of it's just at a moderate pace, experiencing that and realizing, if you're someone like me and there was a poor runner, you know, how much you probably were really heel striking and getting your foot underneath you with a shorter stride to begin with, and then changing to get your, you know, foot up and behind you in that sort of figure four position.
Yeah, one of the latest things that was told to me that helped me with a little bit of the pose running was never letting my knee go straight. Just focusing when you run. I think it's really hard to think about pose running without doing just drills and then it kind of getting worked into your motor pattern. But just focusing while you're running, just don't straighten your knee out ever. Just don't, like,
that's interesting.
Don't let it get,
I've never heard
don't
that
let
cue.
Your leg, don't let your knee extend all the way behind you. So as soon as your foot touches ground, pull that foot from the ground before your knee can even get straight. And the same with in front of you, if you never extend your knee all the way, if you put your foot down before your knee gets extended, then it's right there under you.
Yeah, I was going to say, you can't
so
heal straight.
I think one of the most, a lot of pose running drills have helped me.
Yeah.
But the thing that I've been able, there's only been one thing I've ever thought about while running,
What was her name?
Where it actually improved my running.
Yeah.
There's only one thing while I was running that actually helped. Was don't straighten the knee.
You know,
no straightening.
The light bulb moment for me was Paul Ike said, just in random conversation, he's like, just think about, don't think about the foot in motion, the foot that's beginning to touch the ground. Just think about picking that foot up, and your body takes care of the rest because you're already leaning. And as you concentrate a little bit, for me, is picking up the foot that's about to touch the ground or is touching the ground, that other foot wants to come down. And, you know, if you get your cadence right, that really helped for me. But, yeah, that's going back to the pistol thing. That's this morning I was like, oh, God, that hurt me a little bit. But in general, that wad was pretty straightforward. How do we get to the partner pistol thing? We're talking about overprogramming pistols.
Talk about how stupid they were.
Who knows? It was a tangent.
Well,
sorry, guys.
Yeah, we're getting on how you select the meat and potatoes from the assistant's work, and when you choose, how do you choose?
Here's the thing. I think you do have to have some spice, but for me, people come into the gym, and they want to have some basic fitness. Until they get past the point, you forget, you know, it's cute to say CrossFit's elite fitness. Maybe it is for some people. Maybe CrossFit helps them get there. But in reality, CrossFit's not come in and do this program and here's, you know, you're a ninja. So you've got to be able to, you know, lift heavy things off the ground. You got to be able to lift those things up and hopefully get them over your head, or some of those things, some various weight. You got to be able to get to the ground. You got to be able to get off the ground. You know, there are certain things, and I think until you're meeting those well, I don't know why you'd go to, you know, dumbbell incline press. I don't know how you program a pistol before someone has many legitimate, full depth, you know, good looking squats.
Yeah, exactly.
I'm saying you better be back squatting body weight and a half before you start doing pistols.
Okay. I was like, wait,
oh God,
second,
do I not need that benchmark? Oh shit.
I don't know, maybe double body weight. Who knows?
Double body weight. I don't know if I could do that.
Yeah,
I'd have to try.
I don't know. I find that I think pistols are just as hard for someone who's got double body weight, or more difficult than some people that are, you know, only have like body weight or something.
Yeah, I just see a lot of people in CrossFit gyms now that we have the 4,000 boxes out there and all sorts of people. It's not just guys with tattoos who look scary and have chucks on, you know, with like angry white guy music.
You're talking about the powerlifter type.
Yeah. Well, or just, you know, when I first started CrossFitting and I'd travel and I'd go into CrossFit places, you know, there were big scary dudes who were like, well, what'd you do yesterday? You know, I ran 40 miles with a stone over my head. And
it attracted a lot of like ex athletes, some powerlifters, and like ex like military. So it's like,
yeah,
like in the beginning, those were the people who kind of pushed it into the light at first. And then, you know, oh, we're going to do this because Navy SEALs
maybe
do it.
Maybe the warrior vibe was a little heavier.
Much heavier.
And overused because warriors aren't working out. Warriors are doing warrior shit.
Yeah, well, yeah.
I hate that.
You're saying you don't use live fire exercises at faction?
No, I always got really uncomfortable with that with powerlifting too. Like, I was guilty of it for a while. Where you treat training like this is some sort of battle, some sort of important life or death thing. And you use words like battle and we're warriors, and you're not. You're not anything like that whatsoever.
No.
This, you're showing up, and what matters, yes, is simple fitness and strength and ability and your goals, and you're just working towards it. And you go out into the real world once you leave here.
Interesting to note, I'm going to try and get one of my buddies. He's going to be in town. He's a Navy SEAL. I'm going to see if he wants to do the podcast. I don't know if he'll come on or not since he's active duty.
We can put a bag over his head or something.
Let's clarify how we're going
to
do that.
I won't say his name on the air now just in case, like, we have to. I don't think he's that secret, but he could talk a little bit about how true warriors, how they handle their programming. I mean, Josh Everett writes his program. So he meets with him, you know, once a month or whatever, and then they work out what he needs to do specifically for his job. So it's not even, there's not even like a...
For his job.
There's not even a program for Navy SEALs.
No.
So, like, there is a program, this guy, you know, he pretty much tells, like, planes where to drop bombs. So his job involves, like, going out into the sticks right. you know, marking things and then coming back.
Makes okay. it sound like he's in the land between the lakes.
He's like a death surveyor.
I don't want to really talk about too much about what he does, just in case, but maybe we'll get him on. He can tell us a lot about it. Maybe he'll appreciate that I don't talk about it at all. But
my experience with people like that,
his programming is different than some other guys on another in another platoon or something.
Yeah, I think probably what some of those people are called upon to do on a daily basis varies greatly, and hence what they need to be able to do or be practiced at. Because as awesome as it is to have like a 500-pound deadlift, it may or may not be practical for if you really are a warrior for what you need to do. Because you're rarely confronted with a 500-pound barbell object that you have to pick up to waist height and move.
Yeah, definitely. There's that point
this guy
where,
does have a 500-pound deadlift. I mean, he's size.
I'm not saying that, some of these guys aren't incredibly strong.
Where general strength will add to everything, and there's a point where beyond that cutoff,
right.
additional strength will only take away from your opportunity to do things that are a little more specific to what you need.
I tend to agree. Or focusing on that takes
like
away
a shot,
from
like a shot putter who bench presses 400. Well, he's probably doing better than when he benched 3, but if he spends the time it takes to get to 450, he's probably throwing a heavy shot put a little less than he should be.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know? I agree with that.
Let's talk a little bit about what program other people should be doing. We kind of touched on it a little bit in the beginning. We have like OPT, yeah. Outlaw, Invictus, Faction. What?
Take a break.
Oh, we got to take a break?
Yeah.
I got a pee-pee.
All right. We're taking a break. And then we'll come back and talk about what program you should do.
Stay tuned.
I'm reading the wrong
thing. Yeah.
Teleprompter.
I'm not Mike Bledsoe.
Yeah, if you ever wonder how I come up with all my witty comments, it's because I have a teleprompter. I'm Mike Bledsoe. We're back here, Barbell Shrug. Still here with Chris Moore and
Ooh,
Robbie Froman.
It's good.
Yeah, he's so sexy.
We're gonna
Robbie
talk.
Froman, CrossFit Chicken, sir. What's your URL? Your URL.
It's CrossFitChicksaw.com.
Good.
Yeah, yeah.
We're going to talk a little bit about programming. There's a lot of programs out there. There's a lot of coaches out there that say, hey, look at me. You should follow what I do.
That's the problem right there.
For the elite.
That's actually what they're all saying. Hey, look at me.
The elite fitness. We got OPT, who's probably one of the most popular ones. Outlaw's probably the next. I think he might be more popular than OPT at this point. Because I think there's quite a few CrossFit gyms on board with him.
Yeah.
We program for like competition, but I'm not seeking athletes.
Okay. So settle this for me though, because this is a question I've been asking for about 6 weeks now. How many times do you have to compete to call yourself a CrossFit competitor? Like I did the Open last year. Am I a CrossFit athlete?
Yeah.
Am I a CrossFit competitor?
Sure.
So if I go out and run a 5K tomorrow, I can say I'm a runner.
Yeah.
I'm at the end of the bar, a hot chick comes up, what do you do? I'm a runner.
That's one of the things I hate about
running. Technically speaking, yeah, I guess you could.
That's one of the things I hate about the sport of running is that every clown can do it. They can put one foot in front of the other and you're a runner.
Hey, every clown, I mean, I signed up for the Open, and me and tens of thousands of other people.
You can say the same thing about weightlifting.
As you
do snatch with a bar, you're a clown who can compete in weightlifting.
That's way fewer than runners. I can find 5Ks that got more runners than the entire Open had.
It's alarming to me how many people are like, hey, I'm a CrossFit competitor, so I'm following OPT or I'm following Outlaw.
Well, I think there's what you intend to do, what you say your goals are. Well, I want to be better at competing at CrossFit competitions, so I'm going to identify when those dates are, what the likely events are, program back from that, and work with some more strictly periodized plan to get in the best shape so I can be ready for this time event that's going to happen in a known time and place.
Yeah.
And then there's the issue of how really good are you? Are you at the level of a guy who's going to maybe win that competition and you need more intensive, more highly varied methods? Or are you somebody who wants to compete but are still technically way under your potential and you can still get away with doing what is not very specialized programming?
I'll just say this. It's going to offend some people. I think there are a lot of people
out
there
them all.
In CrossFit gyms. They're white, black, Asian people. No. they offend big groups. No. There are a lot of people walking around CrossFit gyms who are CrossFit athletes And they're not really. I'm like, going and doing the open WADs at your local affiliate is cool, and I strongly recommend you do that. Don't get me wrong. You're not quite a CrossFit athlete. So,
well, it's like powerlifting. If you want to do a powerlifting competition and you're relatively new to training, doing just like simple, like a starting strength type program will probably be very good for you. I'm going to keep working the barbell squat and the bench press and the whatever, and I'm going to get good at that without adding any more complication. What I'm just going to do is just go to meet and have fun. I'll be stronger, likely.
Yeah.
And there's a guy who's been training for a while and wants to get really, really serious about powerlifting. He wants to try something like West Side Barbell training or something.
Yeah.
Where it's like, I'm going to do a lot of things that are above and beyond and very, very, very highly specialized, because at this point, I think I may get the benefit out of it. So it's like, it's a question of how experienced you are and what extra tools should be utilized. If you're new to CrossFit, it's only been, I would argue, if it's like 5 years or less, you're still learning. Like, you're still getting something out of just run-of-the-mill CrossFit training. Then do you really need to complicate things to where you're trying to be a big dog? Is it necessary at all?
I guess that's where I'm at.
If you're still, like I said, it's like the fruit from the tree analogy. If you're still reaping the rewards of simple training, that's just what's on the board when you come to your gym, then you should probably keep doing that. There's no need to fool yourself into thinking you're an advanced athlete on the level of somebody who's fighting for a game slot, when an honest look in a mirror would suggest you're not. Because that won't help you get better. It's not going to help you be a better athlete.
That was going to be my next point. A lot of these people walking around, I'm a CrossFit competitor, and they're not really.
It's fun to say about yourself.
It's cool to say, but it's not true.
Well, it sounds like you have an elitist attitude, Robbie. Why is that?
You call yourself a CrossFit competitor?
I don't. I would never call myself. I mean, I did the open. I just think it's scary because some of those people end up banged up, beat up, injured, and or they inhibit their own ability in terms of picking a program. They inhibit their ability to move forward because they jumped in the deep end of the pool. You know, it's like, hey, if the shallow end of the pool is helping you get better, stay in the shallow end and don't worry about, you know, the tricky stuff until that tricky stuff becomes pertinent. Like earlier in the day, we were talking about, you know, 5x5 versus
8x2.
8x2, exactly.
For just lifting?
Yeah, you can't shortcut this crap. So I can't come in and just go, you know, I'm really not that strong, but hey, 8x2, the really strong guys are using that to get the positive stimulus they're looking for. I'll just start doing that. You know, that doesn't make any sense, but I guess I'm seeing a lot of that. And when people are choosing their program, it's almost more like they're choosing it based on what they want to be versus maybe what they are.
Well, I think you hit it. It all comes down to seeing somebody who's better than you doing something and want to be like them, so you want to do as they do. It's the ultimate fundamental trap in training. Oh, like, I want to get stronger in a squat, and that guy's really strong in a squat, and he does that, so I should do that. Or that guy's really good at wads, and that's how he does them, so I should do that. I shouldn't do this, because obviously I'm doing this with a bunch of other people who aren't as good as that guy, so why not do that?
I guess I see a ton of that, and that's what gets scary to me in terms of people looking at programs. And when you look at this stuff online, it seems like the more fantastical it is.
And that's a mistake.
What?
You talk about your fasting from media consumption.
Oh, yeah.
The same thing goes for training. Like, spending all day looking at forums and CrossFit blogs and the latest WOD of the day programming is probably poisonous to 99% of the CrossFitters out there.
I really think it is. I think a lot of people go online and they're like, man, that looks really tough.
It's politics season. If you go to 5 different websites and you read every opinion piece on who's going to win the election, XYZ, you're going to have a really busy, polluted mind. You're going to lose sight of the fact that none of this shit really matters what you have to do in your life today.
Yes.
And the same thing as with training. If you read, like, even if you just read CrossFit.com, CrossFitFootball.com, and then CrossFitEndurance.com, let's just say that. Yeah. You try to say which one of these things is better without thinking about what it is you're trying to even do or what's important to you, you're going to have no idea what's better. Because obviously these things are just completely different beasts altogether.
Honestly
saying, what do I want first? And where am I?
So to loop this idea back around to what really irks
loop
me.
Loop it, baby.
Is you have a lot of people picking a program based on some jackleg, and I'm not saying that necessarily the people we're talking about are jacklegs. Some of them may be, but not all of them. The loudest voice in the room saying, no, hold on. I'm CrossFit, dude. I know how to make you better. his mic. So read my blog, you know, buy my book. Yeah. Well, I did his program. It didn't work for me. I wanted to grow more hair. I wanted to be taller. Nothing. He promised more hair. No, but
you
it's
didn't
like,
take that thing I told you to take. I can't mention
it,
here.
I took it sometimes.
Mama pancreas powder.
I have deer antler velvet. I think a lot of times.
Hey, that stuff works.
Of course it does. Pay me for it, and I'll tell you how. A lot of times that super loud voice in the room is actually doing a huge disservice to an awful lot of people who probably, if they go to a decent CrossFit gym that sticks to the basic ideas, they can go a long way with the P word, my favorite thing that I use every day at the gym.
Cool.
You know, making progress that's actually legitimate progress for that person, as opposed to going, oh, look, I looked at, you know, big tough guy at CrossFit.com, and there's a guy that lifted a 400-pound log 500 times for time. I'm going to try that when I'm done doing Linda after I do my 100 kipping pull-ups for time. And I'm like, you did what? You know? Yeah, but that's what Rich Froning did.
Yeah, or if you saw Rich Froning's A Day in the Life of Rich Froning, I caught that on... That was actually posted to All Things Gym.
Oh, yeah.
AllThingsGym.com. But they just followed him on CrossFit for like a whole day. Like, they showed up at his house at like 8 o'clock in the morning. He's like, yeah, I already rode eight 500-meter time rows for sprints, you know, and I'm doing, you know, 400-pound deadlifts for, you know, 20 sets of five now. And it's have you had breakfast yet? No, I haven't had breakfast yet, but I'm going to do 10 more workouts today.
Yeah.
Oh, man, I got to train like Rich Froning. It's easy to fall into the trap where you want to mimic what other people do, and it's the first step towards you losing progress, for sure.
I think the first thing you do, if you're listening to this podcast, get a pen, get a piece of paper, listen to me. Go into the CrossFit gyms you could go to if you want to do this. Talk to the people that actually do the programming, or talk to, you know, someone in charge, hopefully, and ask them, you know, fundamentally, what can you hope to get out of this program? Because if the answer's like, you're going to be a fucking ninja, dude, when I'm done with you, run. Get in your car and leave as fast as you can.
Not going to be a ninja.
Yeah.
I've heard coaches that do that. Talk a huge game, like, I can put you on the pedestal. I'm like, oh, man.
No, I want to hear someone that says, hey, we need to get you fundamentally stronger than you are. I mean, I don't know who you are, but fundamentally stronger than you are in some of these basic ways. You need to be able to lift something. You need to be able to squat.
And make you buy a different size pair of pants.
Yeah.
That's our goal.
Probably.
Either smaller or bigger.
Yeah. I need you to be able to get to the ground. I need you to be able to get off the ground. You know, some basic things. I need to make you to be able to move your body through space.
In this case, the burpee being superior to the push-up, if you want to teach people how to actually do that.
Well, yeah, that's super true. The burpee can translate to a billion different gymnastic movements.
Gymnastic.com.
Yeah. Actually, I had this person in the gym the other day that...
I'm buying that domain.
And this actually, I'll brag on him, Austin, who goes to Faction... James Chaney is he affiliated with us anymore in some way?
Yeah, he's...
Okay.
What do you mean?
A friend of the program. I don't know what's going on. James Chaney.
Hi, James.
Yeah. James took some cool pictures of Austin, who was at Chickasaw doing some muscle ups, and Austin has this awesome gymnastic kip that he really drives to the rings with his hips, and and James got this perfect picture. I mean, I couldn't ask for like a textbook photo better of Austin, basically parallel to the ground, but his feet are far below his knee. So I mean, he has to be driving with his hips, right? And I'm like, yeah, it's the exact same kind of idea. You got to get this pop just like you're doing a burpee. And of course, there are two people, you know, that are my members that go, What does a burpee have anything to do with you know, getting a muscle up? And I'm like, you got to learn how to extend your hips.
Putting English on your body.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, human movement is really simple. I mean, it's incredible on how people... It's simple on that. I mean, you have like hip extension, hip flexion, and then everything emanates from there for most athletic movement. Not everything. But for most, it's kind of like wrestling. There's like three takedowns. There's like three takedowns, and there's 1,000 ways to get into that takedown. It's 1,000 ways to lead into it. But same thing. The hips are making the same motion, Now, the arms might be moving a little bit differently or something like that. The way it emanates out to the extremities is different, but it all starts three different ways.
Yeah, the energy is created here,
yeah,
I think. Yeah. But I guess going back to the whole programming thing, because that was kind of a tangent, I think you really have to think about what you want to get out of it. Look in the mirror and say, realistically, who am I right now? And if you go into a CrossFit gym and suddenly you're like, yeah, I've got a 2x body weight back squat. I've got a 2.5x body weight deadlift. I've got a good looking clean.
Yeah,
I'm really getting 400
meters in 3 minutes.
Then you got to work on that. Or if you go, hey, you know, I can run a 400 in 105 or 110. I don't know what a good metric might be for some of this new. Hey, maybe I do need to find someone shouting at me saying, look, if you've got some ability if you really want to be good at it. But if you're in a CrossFit gym and you're like, I've got a 1.5x deadlift, 1.5x body weight deadlift, you know, I'm running a 130, 400 meters, or far slower, I can get down to the ground fairly fast for a few times, whatever it may be, start there.
Yeah.
And yeah, all this other fantastical stuff, I think, is someone's trying to sell you something. I guess that's where I really get mad.
I like the way Chris put it, is, you know, you always got to snag the low-hanging fruit first.
Yeah.
And too often people kind of, you know, they want to go after what other people are doing, and they may have already mastered the thing that you're just trying to get a hold of.
Yeah.
I think it's practical
advice, and it's a good way to, like, one, you're going to make progress if you grab the fruit. The theoretical fruit that's in front of your face first. Like, okay, I want to get here eventually. I understand that, but first things first, I need to be able to do 10 burpees with good form.
Yeah.
So I do that. I'm not going to do 100 for time.
Right.
But if you focus in on the incremental goals, pretty soon you lose track of the long-term goals, and you just focus on the day-to-day ritual of it and the rhythm of it. I guess that helps you realize that one day you wake up and you made all this progress without obsessing about the long-term goals.
I think
once it becomes ritual and you take on goals one step at a time, realistically, before you know it, a long stretch of time has gone by and you have lost the 30 pounds. You have added 100 pounds to your back squat. It's a reasonable approach to it, where you can actually achieve something profound if you just go about it at patient.
What, you got 100 pounds to? Your waist? Squat. Oh, to your back squat.
His waist.
He's huge. Look at how big he's gotten. Yeah. Seriously. I think that's the way to go about it. I mean, you tick things off one at a time, and instead of going for some of this crazy stuff I see on the internet, and honestly just in CrossFit gyms, sometimes I walk into CrossFit gyms and I'm like, what's on the board and what you're asking some, you know, fairly ordinary people or new people to do seems crazy to me. Maybe that's just me.
I think that whoever's programming has to be in good communication with the coaches. So yeah. I handle all the programming at Faction, and then I know that my coaches are extremely skilled and they know how to scale things.
Yeah.
So I can program something like muscle ups, and I've already communicated with them that week or whatever or that day.
What's your scale for a muscle up?
What?
scale?
Yes, we actually do some banded muscle ups. That's one scale. There's a scale where we actually took from Kalipa. You know, he's got the heels up on the box.
Yeah.
I feel like that's a really good one.
Okay.
But our coaches they're not bad. So they can go and I have full trust that they're going to be able to scale that for each individual in each class. Not every coach has all that experience or has had that kind of leadership in their facility.
Yeah, but they have a level one, there. Mike. They've gone to the weekend.
Yeah.
They know.
So it depends. So, like, if you are terrible at something, if you know that you don't know how to scale things, or you know it's not going to get scaled properly in your gym, maybe you should stay away from it. As a coach, if you have athletes that, you know, aren't that athletic.
I'm just saying, as a CrossFit customer going out into the CrossFit universe to get this product, there's enough weird stuff out there now. It's important to you know, evaluate what's out there and listen a little bit. Don't get caught up in this trap of, hey, you're going to be a ninja and Rich Froning rode 10,000 meters before he even woke up out of bed. You know, put that all that out of your mind.
I did too.
And see, yeah.
Dude, I'll tell you, an idea worth keeping in your mind is, I give credit to actually the CrossFit headquarters for having this idea, throwing in all their certifications, but the idea of virtuosity is a really good one.
Oh, I think it's fantastic.
You could when you talk about progression, you can keep working to get more and more and more and more, but there's also this point, like, I could do the simple things ever better, you know, continuously better every time I do them, and get a lot out of that. So even when you are technically ready for something fancier, you know, have you squeezed everything you can out of the...
Are you really still fighting for every rep, you know?
Yeah, I mean, have you really polished your, you know, your kipping pull-up and your burpee technique, and
yeah,
are you really as efficient as you could be? Have you really got everything you can? Because even when you think you're now ready for something fancy, you probably aren't. I mean, the simplest things are pretty much always going to be best for most people.
I tend to agree with that. I mean,
you got to make sure you've searched for all the elegance in your program before you start adding in things that seem really shiny and fancy. But that's most of the time just a mirage. Most of the time it doesn't really matter. It's nothing more than just a fun, novel change of pace.
I couldn't agree more. Mm-hmm. I couldn't agree more with that. So, I don't know. It's scary, some of the stuff that's out there anymore.
Yeah.
I think.
You do any shake weights in your wad?
Well, I don't want to give away what's made some of my athletes some of the best athletes in the 38111 zip code.
3, 2, 1, go!
Shake!
Oh, jeez. I had this whole... I was going to say something, and then you guys threw me completely off the shake weight. I appreciate it.
The scale for a shake weight, in case you're going to use that at Faction, is a shaker bottle. And you progressively put more liquid in it. Once you kind of can kind of get that, then you get the actual
weight. We
saw
our clients off with cucumbers. And
oh, jeez.
Oh, Lord.
All right, we're gonna shut this thing down.
Yay.
If you want to hear Chris Moore talk more about simple strength or about programming, there is a simple strength seminar on the website if you click on the shop. We are selling you something.
Don't be afraid.
Fit RTV?
I'm 25 pounds lighter than I was in the thing, so still take my word for how to be huge.
Yeah,
I'm not so huge anymore.
Is that on Fit RTV?
Fitr, yeah, it's Fitr.
FITR.TV.
Yeah. Well, I say Fitr so that people can actually find it.
Yeah, it's yes.
Okay.
Go on Fitr.TV.
He said a lot of things about it. One of the things I really believe is that the best program is the program that is for you. An individualized program specifically for that athlete.
Yes.
Not everyone wants to pay for that. To get one-on-one training all the time gets really expensive, and that's why CrossFit gyms are really, really popular, is because you've got 10 people splitting the cost of one coach. What would normally cost, you know, $100 to $200 an hour is now costing you, you know, $10 to $20 per session because you're splitting up amongst a bunch of other people. That's just how the business model works.
Yeah.
So the best program for anybody is going to be an individualized program. And man, you got that camera really close to my face. Wow. It's freaking me out.
Get it.
Chris goes into, when he does his seminar, he goes into a lot of detail on how you could develop your own program.
Yeah.
So that you can kind of
have a seminar?
You can find.
Yeah, it's a seminar.
Figure out what your weaknesses are and then program to fulfill your weaknesses, not going after what Rich Froning is good at.
That probably captured it perfectly. I spent a lot of time trying to chase some kind of perfect program and discovering programs and trying them and seeing what works, what I can build into this master opus of a program. But really, the most important thing is for individuals to understand the basic building blocks. It's like when you teach somebody how to be a master chef, you teach them the techniques and where to get good ingredients, but you don't teach them how to generate their own dishes. You let them develop that for themselves.
Yeah.
So that's what a good athlete will do. They will take all the essential elements of what an athlete needs and then figure it out for themselves how to make the most of it. That's really how it works. And I hope that's the simple start to understanding how you can make your own program, how you can decide for yourself that this idea is a good one, this one's stupid based on the knowledge I have.
Yeah,
that's what we're going for.
It's not a program. It's just teaching you how to improve your ability to
program. You don't necessarily
need
that program. You need to understand why you're doing what you're doing.
Yeah.
Mm, I'll go with that.
Boom. Mind blown. Mind gasms.
All right, anything you want to plug? CrossFit Chickasaw?
Yeah, of course I'll plug CrossFit Chickasaw. I think, you know what I'll plug? I'll plug CrossFit in general. We had a great community WOD this morning on the Bluff. We had lots of people from...
Was it four different gyms?
At least four different gyms. I think probably more than that, which was awesome. It was awesome to see all these different people come together, have some fun. It was competitive, but in the right kind of way. We do it at Chickasaw. I know Faction does it as well on Saturday mornings at 10. Is it 10 for you guys or 10:30? At Chickasaw, it's 10 o'clock. At Faction, it's 10:30. If you're interested in CrossFit, or you have friends that are interested in CrossFit, or you're just interested in checking out two super cool gyms, come on Saturday. We would love to see you. I'm at CrossFitChickasaw.com. My programming has been tested by the greatest chefs in the world, and is endorsed by Chris Moore's Simple Strength.
Yes, I endorse Robbie 100%.
Yes, what Bledsoe's doing at Faction, I think is at the margin, but 5-4. I'd check that out too. I'm kidding. They're both good gyms. Come try CrossFit.
Become elitely fit. Become fitter than every friend you have. Make them jealous of your new pant size.
So you want people to check out Chris Moore blog?
TheChrisMoreBlog.com. Go on there and see what you think. I got some ideas. I pontificate.
I got some ideas, you know.
I talk about anything that crosses my mind. Usually it's pretty good. Go check it out.
All right, guys.
And follow us on the tweeters.
On the tweeters.
Yeah.
I just want it for the record, this Rich Froning kid, if he's back on the show before I am,
we're
going to have issues. Yeah, we're going to have issues.
Later, guys.
Dun, dun, dun. It's always a good time, man.